Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Let's begin the session with a few announcements. The first is happy birthday to Ryan Shalom, December 14th, 2015. You're a man. This is his 18th birthday. The 14th will be his 18th birthday. He's a part of our non-resident congregation up in the frigid and rainy state of Washington, and really tremendous young man, close to his mom, and so it's good to wish him a happy birthday. I want to say something funny, but I'm not gonna. I'll just save it for the next time I see him. So I'm always looking to say something funny. Anyway, prayers for Monica Miller, who has shoulder surgery coming up this Thursday. So I think one of her arms is kind of has come out of her body. The only thing that's holding it on is skin. Right, so they're gonna go in, see how things are going. They'll go into her shoulder, then they'll get curious and they'll start looking all over the place, and it'll be just a mess. No. All right, I'll do my funny with Monica. If I can't do it with Ryan, I'll do it with Monica. But I wish Monica the best. I had one of those MRIs that said 50% rotator cuff tear, and when he got in, it was 90% with a labrum tear. So, you know, doctors. Anyway. And also prayers for all of those who have requested them on Barah Ministries prayer request group. I think that has been a fantastic thing. And Susie, thanks for putting that together. And so every once in a while, it'd be a good idea for you to check what's on there and make sure that you're adding your intentions for the people who have asked for prayers. It's fantastic. Prayers also for Rosemary LaGrasso, that's Tony's mom, who has a battle going with cancer, and she's not tolerating the chemotherapy very well. So prayers for an alternative form of relief from the suffering associated with cancer, and prayers for Tony and his family. So, you know, it's funny that when all of the human things run out, that's when God takes over. So, you know, that's what I'm looking forward to in this situation, seeing God take over. And we've been beseeching him on her behalf for quite a while, and we just keep doing that. And, you know, we encourage the family to just continue to have hope, because that's why we have a Savior. We have a Savior because we continue to have hope and keep getting her the gospel message and make sure she's clear on the issues of salvation. But we'll keep our prayers going, whatever the outcome, we know that God has the perfect outcome for Rosemary, and so we just wait and watch and see. Mark your calendars. We're going to visit the vets on December 20th, that's next week, at 1:45 p.m. Mountain Standard. Also, a new time for the evening service next week. It's going to be at 4:30 instead of 6:30, so it's going to be earlier. So right after we finish at the vets, we'll come over here and have our service. So a new time. And remember the two dates coming up where we don't have face-to-face teaching, December 27th and January 10th. And also a reminder to download the Barah Ministries app so you can take the Word of God with you anywhere that you go. And I don't know whether you guys have tried that or not. I think we've got about 100 people who have downloaded the app. But I don't know whether you've tried that or not, and, you know, I know a lot of you probably think that you're technologically horrible and blah, 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 but if you want to talk about the easiest thing in the world to do, it's download an app and punch a button, and you can have the Word of God with you anywhere. And if you go over to Radio Shack or someplace more reasonable than that financially, you can get this thing called an auxiliary cord. You plug it into your phone, and you plug it into the auxiliary jack in your car, and you can play the Word of God in your car, and it's an amazing thing. Or you can play June's songs if you want to have an accident. You can play June's songs in the car. You know? I'll be here all week. Tip the waiters. All right, so those are the announcements. Let's get on with the lesson, the introduction to the lesson. Suffering is a privilege for the believer in Christ. Suffering is a privilege for the believer in Christ. Well, John the Baptist suffered an imprisonment when the Lord Jesus Christ was beginning his teaching ministry. And you know that John the Baptist was the evangelist who came to tell everybody that Jesus Christ was coming. Now, it is hardly what John the Baptist had envisioned as an evangelist who would preach, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." He did not visualize and envision that as he got ready to preach, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," that he'd end up in prison. But he made the mistake of telling Herod that it was not lawful for him to have his wife Herodias because she was his brother's wife. And so that's detailed in Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. So Herod had taken his brother's wife as his wife, and that was not lawful. And so John told Herod that, and he ended up in prison. And he was lucky not to end up dead, because what Herod really wanted to do was kill John the Baptist, but he didn't for two reasons. One, because he actually liked his messages, and two, because there was John the Baptist had a tremendous following at that time, and so he was afraid that the people would get nuts and then come after him. Well, the imprisonment caused John the Baptist quite a bit of concern. So he wanted to be sure that this guy that he was hearing about, Jesus Christ, was indeed the Messiah. So here's what we see in Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 to 15. It says, "When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John the Baptist, while imprisoned, heard of the works of the Christ, the Messiah, he sent word by his disciples." Disciples is the Greek word is a reference to technical students, the Greek word technon. And so John the Baptist, while in prison, heard of the works of Christ, and he sent word by his students and said to Jesus, Matthew 11:3, "Are you the expected one, the Messiah, or shall we look for someone else?" Great question. Are you the expected one, or should we look for someone else? Now, Jesus didn't answer him yes or no. Matthew 11:4, Jesus answered and said to John's disciples, "Go and report to John what you hear and see." Matthew 11:5, "The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." John the Baptist would recognize from hearing that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, because the prophet Isaiah had said some of these very things about him in Old Testament scripture. And if that wasn't the kicker, Jesus laid this on him in Matthew 11:6, "And blessed is he who does not take offense at me." Jesus was called the stone of stumbling in the Old Testament. He was called the rock of offense in the Old Testament. So John the Baptist would recognize that as well. If he didn't recognize the other things, this one would be the no-brainer. So next, the Lord Jesus Christ presents the crowd with John the Baptist's resume, assuring them of who John is, because what people think is the outward appearance. And they say, "Well, this guy is supposed to be all that, but he's in jail. So how can he be all that?" So lest there should be any doubt, Matthew 11:7 and following, John's disciples were going away to tell him what Jesus had said, and then Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind?" In other words, a vacillating weakling. And of course, the answer to that is no. They went out. John the Baptist was one crying out in the wilderness. He had a camel hair outfit. He ate locusts and honey. He was eccentric by all standards. So everybody who went out there said, "Wow, this guy's a little weird," but his message wasn't weird. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Matthew 11:8. But what did you go out to see? Jesus continues as he's giving John the Baptist's resume. What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Well, a reference, soft clothing is a reference to what kings wear. Kings wore the soft and beautiful clothing. So what did you go out to see? A man dressed in king's clothing? No, the opposite. Those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. Well, no, Jesus was wearing, or John the Baptist was wearing mohair, right? Matthew 11:9. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you. And one who is more than a prophet. Yeah, John the Baptist is a prophet, but he's more than that. What do you mean? Matthew 11:10. This one, John, is the one about whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you." This is God the Father sending a messenger before the Lord Jesus Christ to prepare everyone to recognize that the Messiah is exactly the one who has been promised. The Jews missed it, but they shouldn't have missed it because they had someone warning them. This is the one. Matthew 11:11. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. This is Jesus talking. Yet one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And that's a reference to the upcoming church age believers. Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. Matthew 11:13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Matthew 11:14. And if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. Matthew 11:15. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So to the world, when we suffer, it is misinterpreted as weakness. John being in prison was misinterpreted as weakness. To the believer in Christ, our weakness is our strength, and it is the perfect indication that the Lord has us securely in the palm of his hand. Welcome to a place where you can learn about the Lord and learn about that place of security that you have in his righteous right hand. Our opening song is from Chris Tomlin, and it's called Worthy, Holy is the Lord. I changed the title. Worthy is the Lord, holy is the Lord.
We stand and lift up our hands for the joy of the Lord. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he? And together we sing. Holy is the Lord God.
in one of her moods, people. I don't know what to say about that, but you just need to watch. Keep the 911 unit close by. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for giving us things that we can't handle. And thank you for making perfect provision for our escape from these trying circumstances when the time is right, when the lesson has been learned. And help us to recognize that giving us things we can't handle is not necessarily because you are punishing us for sin, because we know that your Son paid for our sins at the cross. And your enemy would have us believe that you're punishing us. Rather, it's because, Father, that you're strengthening us to endure. So help us see your hand in our lives in every moment. Help us to enjoy the wonder of your grace in its many forms, and suffering is one of those forms. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, in God's plan, suffering produces an effect. Suffering produces an effect. You know, if you judge life through the standard of good and bad, then you'll always be judging your life as good and bad. And when things are going like you think they ought to go, then that's good. And then when they're going the way you think they shouldn't go, that's bad. Well, everything in this world is opposite. When you're suffering, that's pretty good for you, because it's just like exercise. You know, suffering is the thing that toughens you up, the thing that gets you ready for all the challenges that you face. And I think there's nothing worse in a crisis than being around people who haven't suffered. One of the things that I hate most in my consulting career is working with guys who have never had their ass kicked. You know, and there are a lot of those guys in business that run companies who have never just been taken and had somebody just take their fist and just beat them physically, right? Because there's something that happens to you when you have been beaten physically. You get a whole new perspective on life. And the people who haven't had that happen, they don't have that same perspective, right? So suffering is really valuable. Why? Because it produces an effect. And so we're going to, over the next few lessons, as we get through this third passage in Romans 8, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about suffering and thinking about it in terms of your life and getting it into your head that this is a pleasurable thing, not a miserable thing. And it's the same, you know, if you're a golfer, if you can get that into your head, that a shot is a shot. A shot's not a good shot or a bad shot, because if you're an amateur golfer, 95% of your shots are going to be what you would determine to be bad shots, because you have this thought in your head about how every shot ought to go, and they never go that way. So then every shot that doesn't go the way you think it ought to go, well, it's a bad shot. Well, it's really not, because you can have three or four bad shots in a row and get a par. See? So if you got a par, which is the number of strokes you're supposed to have on a hole, if it's par four, you get it down in four, you did the right thing. You got that? And you sit there the whole time, and, oh, that was bad, that was bad, that was bad, that was bad. You got a par. How bad can a par be? A par is pretty good for an amateur. Right? And that's kind of how we run our lives. We're always judging it and always talking about whether it's good or bad, as opposed to, what is God really trying to do with me? If God lets me suffer, what is he doing that for? He's doing it to be amazing, because he knows that suffering produces an effect. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, actually verses 2 through 4, say this: consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. What's the intended effect of suffering? Endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. You know, those are the kind of people that I want to work with. I want to work with people who can take anything. You know, when I'm on a flight, I like sitting in the exit row. And today, during the briefing, the people on the plane think that listening to the exit row briefing is optional. And I'm always looking around me to see who's around me when I'm in the exit row. All right, so the first thing I'm looking, are they listening to the briefing?
If they're not listening to the briefing, what do I know? These are the ones who are going to panic if anything happens on the plane. So I already know who the panickers are and who the good guys are, right? Every once in a while, I'll just be so happy because I'll be on the aisle and there'll be a military guy two over. I'm set, right? Because you know the military guy is not going to panic under pressure. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, I got... I don't even want to say it, but, you know, a lot of times you get... I don't even want to say it. I can't say it. But, you know, the people who aren't paying attention, you know what they're going to do. They're going to wet right down their leg right when the panic time comes. So you just need to know, right? So anyway, we're studying the third passage of Romans chapter 8, and it extends from verse 18 to verse 25. Romans is the foundational letter in biblical Christianity. If you are a Christian and you haven't studied the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans, then you don't know what Christianity is, honestly. Because this is the foundation of it all, and we're in the eighth chapter of it, which is the home of the believer in Christ. This is where we meet God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is the one that, for the believer in Christ, runs your spiritual life. He is the one that goes ahead of you and does everything for you to get you ready for the glory that will be yours in the future. So let's look at this passage, listen to it together, and let the Word of God speak to our souls. And then, of course, we go verse by verse and see what exactly it's saying. So Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time, right now, are not worthy to be compared with the glory in the future that is to be revealed to us. That's very much like what happens with exercise. When you're exercising, it feels horrible at that moment. And then after about 15 minutes of it, you know, later on that day, you're moving a little different, you know? You can see I haven't been doing any yoga lately. I look like Rick. That would be what Rick would look like if he was dancing, you know? Like he was having fun, but looking like you're having a fit, amen? Yeah, right? I better be careful. This right rotator cuff's ready to go. I'm going to join Monica in her surgery. Romans 8:19, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. And what that says to us is that we who are the sons of God, we who are Christians, haven't been fully revealed yet. I mentioned that to you. And when I walk down the street, nobody looks at me and says, look at that guy, he's in union with Christ. Romans 8:20, for the creation was subjected to futility. And that's a great description of suffering. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. God allows us the privilege of suffering. In hope, in absolute confidence, Romans 8:21, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That's the transformation. That's the metamorphosis that we're going through right now. We're going through the metamorphosis of being slaves and not knowing how to think like anything but a slave to thinking like a free person thinks. And it's an amazing thing. Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. I'm thinking about Deanna Perkoski. She's pretty close to experiencing those pains of childbirth. All the formerly childbearing women in here just rolled their eyes up in their head. You know what that feels like, don't you? It feels like a Mack truck hits you right, boom! You know, you're just out for 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 12 months. Romans 8:23, and not only this, but also we ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. See, we are sons of God. We are redeemed. We are adopted. All those things are a fact. But the magnificence of that has not been revealed to us yet. And so that's what we have to look forward to. The redemption of our body has not occurred yet. So those of us who have a keg are looking forward to the day when we have a six-pack. Amen? Amen, Rick.
Amen, Rory. Yes. Romans 8:24.
For in hope we have been saved. Hope, elpis, the Greek word for absolute confidence. For in absolute confidence we have been saved. But absolute confidence that is seen is not absolute confidence. Hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, and of course we do, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. So this is the passage that we're going to dissect now. And we've begun our look at verse 18. I'll remind you of some of the things that we've already covered today. But two subjects are really in view in this passage: suffering and glory, now and later. All right, so one thing is happening to us right now, suffering. We groan. One thing will happen to us in the future, glory. We will be happy. One thing is temporary, suffering. So it's a state in which we eagerly wait. You know that when you're suffering, the only thing you can think is, get me out of this. One is permanent for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory, a guarantee of a future event, a guarantee of a future state. One is visible now, suffering. One will be visible in the future. It is not seen right now, and that's glory. So, you know, when Tony LaGrasso thinks about his mom, he's in a situation right now where he's watching his mother suffer. And I've been in that situation. I mean, I watched my mother suffer for 5 years, and it's a horrible experience, especially if you're close to your mom. It's a horrible experience. And, you know, the way I coped with it is I would laugh to keep from crying, because it's horrible to see somebody that you love experience dementia, where they're here sometimes and then they're not here. And you have all these memories of them, and you never in your wildest imagination prepared yourself for the situation where you were going to have to deal with a parent and have this be the case. That's not the dream that we have about what it's going to be like as our parents get older. But it is the reality for many people. And keep those people in your prayers, people who have to deal with this, because it is not easy to deal with, because there's always a part of us when we deal with our parents that is a little kid. There's always a part of us who still remembers all those times when we were tripping around the kitchen and grabbing onto apron strings and all the things that we did if we had a close relationship with our parents. And to see them go through that is horrible. Now, my family is never going to have to watch me go through that, right? You know, and the main reason for that is because God is crazy about me. He would just never let that happen. But the other reason is, why are you laughing? I'm serious. God loves me. I don't have to believe it. It's in the Word. Pastors are worthy of a double portion. Amen. I think that meant two meals. I don't really think that. But no, I mean, I like to think that. I like to think that God's pretty cool to pastors. But the other thing is, I have, unbeknownst to my family, I'm sorry I have to announce this to you now, honey, I have a little capsule, you know, that spies have. You know, and if they feel like they're going to be compromised, they just pop the capsule, right? So, is that why it's blue? Oh, Rick said it's Viagra. I was wondering why it was blue. All right, back to the drawing board. But anyway, that's what, you know, my hope is to have one of those little capsules. And just if I see myself putting my family through too much, I'm just going to pop the pill. That's it. She will never know where that capsule is. Can I get your medicine for you? Yeah, I think they call that, when you pop the pill, I think they call that euthanasia. And I always wondered why there was so much concern with youth in Asia and not youth in Europe. But, you know, that's a whole nother matter. You know what? I tell you what. Your pastor's been on vacation. Does it seem like I'm well rested? Yeah. When I'm well rested, I'm on a roll. And that's why they call me Butter, because I'm on a roll. Yeah, I got a million of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says this: momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. I'm sure you'll agree that when you're going through suffering, it feels anything but momentary and light. It feels prolonged and heavy, and we want it to end. We're impatient with suffering, but suffering in God's plan produces the intended effect, endurance, and we are to wait patiently for the effect being produced by the cause of the effect, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the cause of all things. He produces patience. He produces endurance in us. God the Holy Spirit produces fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Of these virtues, against these virtues, there is no law. The spiritual life is our unseen life. It promises much. And for the things we are promised, we hope. We persevere because we know that God always keeps his promises. When we suffer, we're to keep our eyes on the eternal perspective of things. How are you suffering right now? What are you suffering with? What are you suffering about? You have to keep your thoughts on the eternal perspective of things. And I remember that when I was a young man, I was in a competition called the All-State Healthy American Games. And I was not in shape, but I wanted to win. And see, that's why I don't play sports today, because I'm not in shape, but I want to win. And see, that desire to win makes you do funny things with your body. And what you end up having happening is rotator cuff, Achilles heel, the Achilles rolling up into your thigh, and all those things, pulled hamstrings. I don't want anything to do with that stuff. But I'm telling you, when I'm on a basketball court and that instinct kicks in, or in a sporting event, the instinct kicks in, you just want to do that thing you know how to do mentally that you can't do anymore physically. And so I was in this Healthy American Games, and I in high school, I had run the 440 and the 100-yard, it was yards then, the 100-yard dash, the 440-yard dash. And so I volunteered for those events. I did the 440 for this particular event, but it was a 440 relay. And after about 100 yards, I was dying. And I swear I wanted to die. So at that moment, you're acutely aware that you're suffering, right? And all I would think about, and this is the athlete, right? All I would think about is, I have to get to the finish line, and the only way I'm going to get there is one foot in front of the other. Right? So I just kept putting one foot in front of the other, and I tried to make those feet move as fast as possible. And when I got to the last 20 yards, I just felt myself dying. And I have to get this baton to the guy. And so I'm falling forward. I give him the baton, and I end up flat on my face, and then I slid for about 2 yards. Okay, so all this, and this, right? And then I rolled over and puked. Exactly. And it was so funny because the people in the stands just went, oh, man. It was just this collective, oh, man. But that's what it's like when you're suffering. When you want to puke, You haven't got anything in there. You just got to get to the finish line. You know, it's just one foot in front of the other mentally. And when you're in pain, and I can think about times just before surgery when I was in this intense pain, and it was just get to the next second. You know, that's what it's like when you're suffering. Just get to the next second. So hard. Well, when you're going through the suffering, you're not being particularly insightful. You're not asking yourself, what effect is God producing in me as a result of this suffering? I just wanted to get some first aid for the scars, right? Well, these are the things that we'll investigate as we look at this subject of suffering. God transforms us through suffering. And we are undergoing a metamorphosis in the hands of God, a change of state, a state with no mixture of the old self and the new self. And that's the thing that just resonated in my brain this time, that the holy life that we've been talking about is a life with no mixture of the old and the new. That's what God wants for us. He wants us, the old things, to have passed away, and behold, new things have come, and for us to live this new life with no mixture of the old. But we, you know, we like having our foot back in the old. You know, we want to stick our foot back in there. Yeah, that wasn't so bad. No, it was horrible. And this thing that we have yet to see is even more amazing than we could ever imagine. That's what God has planned for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 say this: Now the Lord is God the Holy Spirit. This is one of the verses in the Bible where the Bible is making it clear to you that God the Holy Spirit is deity. Now the Lord is God the Holy Spirit, because most of the time when we hear the Lord, we're talking about Jesus Christ. Now the Lord is God the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all now, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Now, unveiled face. See, back in the age of Israel, the Jews would go to the high priest once a year to get their sins forgiven. And it was the Day of Atonement. And the priest would put on a veil and go into the Holy of Holies. And the Levitical priest was the only one who could go into the Holy of Holies without dropping dead. And his face was veiled. But when Jesus Christ died at the cross, the first thing that happened in the temple in Jerusalem was the veil was torn. Right? No more Holy of Holies on earth. Holy of Holies transferred to heaven. The veil was torn. So now we, as church-age believers, have an unveiled face. We, as church-age believers, have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is different than the Jews in the age of Israel had with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a different relationship. The veil has come down, and we can behold as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Why? Because we're an exact reflection of the Lord. And we're being transformed into that image, glory to glory. So as believers in Christ, God is moving us from the glory of salvation to the glory of sanctification, the Christian way of life. From glory to glory. And the glory of sanctification is that believers in Christ, through the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit, and not through any power of our own. God the Holy Spirit, this God who is the Lord, this God who is co-equal, co-infinite, co-eternal deity, absolutely equal in every respect to God the Father and God the Son. We are being transformed by the Spirit into those ones who are an exact reflection of Christ. See, one of these days, you're going to look in the mirror and you're going to see yourself. And you know what you're going to see shining back at you? Christ. Yeah. Now, goofy Christians call that transformation that we're going through, Christ-like. Excuse me. That we're becoming Christ-like. Like our our song worship leader, when she first got here, had a lot of Christ-like stuff in our songs. I said, all right, get that out. Why? Because we could never be mistaken for Christ. We're not anything like Christ. No matter what we do as human beings, we will never be like Christ. But what he has done, knowing that, is he has transformed us into a reflection of him. Not anything that we're doing. And that's when you hear that Christ-like crap, you're always hearing it in terms of what we do. Oh, well, you got to clean up your act. If you stop swearing, you're going to be more Christ-like. Yeah, well, I'm not stopping swearing. I'm sorry. So I'm not going to be Christ-like. I'm not going to stop that. Oh, if you ladies stop wearing pants to church, you know, you'll be more Christ-like. If you stop swimming in the same swimming pool with men, you'll be more Christ-like. Give me a break. And this is the stuff that poses for Christianity. Even today, there's still that crap going on. It's not Christianity. So the foolish Christian calls this transformation Christ-likeness. Foolish because we're nothing like Christ, yet the Lord considers us worthy enough to be a reflection of him. And it is an absolute privilege to suffer in this life, knowing that that is producing for us an eternal glory, not a temporal one. Let's take a music break.
Huawei, that you would be mindful of us. What do you see that's worth looking our way? Are free in ways that we never should be. Sweet relief from the grip of these chains. Like him, just straining from. Your fate.
Awesome. Welcome back. Today's study in God's plan, suffering produces an effect. Suffering produces an effect. So let's continue our study of the verse-by-verse detail of the third passage in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18. Here's that verse, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, right now, are not worthy to be compared with the glory in the future that is to be revealed to us, believers in Christ." Christians have always suffered. The Jews of Abraham's lineage suffered. First century Christians suffered. You remember this? The way. They were the way. They would mark, and then the other person would mark and make the fish. And that way they knew that they were safe to talk to. The Apostle Paul suffered, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We suffer. So we have to conclude that God has a purpose for our suffering. It produces an effect. In fact, the Lord suffered. Today we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper, and that what we celebrate is his suffering for us. And that certainly produced an effect. And it was funny to know what his attitude was about going to the cross. He considered suffering to be joyful. And his suffering was voluntary. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 say this, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of Old Testament witnesses surrounding us, let us, believers in Christ, lay aside every encumbrance, and let us lay aside the sin which so easily entangles us, buffeting us from all sides, and let us run with endurance the race of our lives that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus," Hebrews 12, 2, "the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, totally disregarding the humiliation of the cross, and now has sat down in reward at the right hand of the throne of God the Father." Hebrews 12:3. "For keep on thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who has endured such hostility by sinners unto himself," and sinners are unbelievers, we are saints, they are sinners, "so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, fainting in your souls." That's what I'm always scared about on the plane. The people who aren't paying attention during the briefing, I am afraid they're going to faint in their souls at the critical minute. Right? Now, because our master suffered, we suffer. We share in his sufferings. He endured hostility, we will too. Don't be surprised when somebody doesn't like you. You ever notice your own reaction when somebody doesn't like you? Oh, my God. I'm like, how could they like not like me? Okay, well, call me. If you ever have that dilemma, give me a call. And I'll tell them, I'll tell you 15 reasons why they can't stand you. All right? Right? And you think, you know, oh, that's just, you couldn't tell me 15 things about me that nobody would like. Oh, yeah, I can. I can get to 20, 25, some of y'all. So just, huh? That's right. Just give me a call. Yeah, I know you guys are like me. That's never bothered me. Do you know that it, see, that's the whole thing. If that bothered me, I could never get up here and teach every week. If I had to be liked. What? When someone better comes along when? Yeah, that's right. You don't worry about it. You don't like me, you don't like me. That's life. So we suffer, but God will deliver us from our suffering to glory. Our suffering is in the present. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5 say this, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father." You know, when you ever start being depressed about yourself, just pull that verse up. Right? You want to know if you're like some human being doesn't like you? I had this happen to me 2 days ago. I was sitting there thinking, this guy doesn't like me. Wow, and that could affect my income. And then all of a sudden I thought, wait a second. My income was already put in place a billion years ago by the Lord Jesus Christ. I just don't know where it's coming from yet. I'm going to worry about this guy? I'm not. You know why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ thought so much of me that he gave himself for my sins to rescue me from this present evil age. And he did it because his father told him to. His father said, "Help Rory." It was just me. He didn't say that about you guys. Just kidding there. You get that? You're ever depressed? Stop and tell yourself what the Word of God says. You're not making this up. This isn't visualization. Galatians 1:5, "To whom this Father, God the Father, to whom be the glory forevermore." Amen? Amen. So our glory, our suffering is now, but our glory is in the future. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. "Therefore, if you believers have been raised up with Christ," and you have, "keep on seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Colossians 3:2, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth." Colossians 3:3, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in the care of God the Father." Colossians 3:4, "When Christ, who is our resurrection life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." In other words, this. Pastor Farley put this way, that our spiritual life is hidden in a brown paper bag. Our spiritual life is hidden in a brown paper bag. Now, you guys are staring at me like you don't know what that means, but so let me hip you. See, down in the ghetto where I come from, what the winos would do is they go buy wine, but they would keep it in the brown paper bag. You know why? Because they didn't want to know when they were running out. Well, our spiritual life is much like that. Our spiritual life is wrapped in a brown paper bag, and we don't really see what the real situation is about our life yet. We don't really see how magnificent it is what Christ did for us at the cross. We don't really see what it really means to be in union with Christ. We don't really see how amazing we are because we still have this unredeemed body that keeps irritating us through the flesh and keeps begging us to do things that we know are wrong and our will is too weak to resist it. And we do it. All the things we said, I would never. I have a practice. I never say that ever anymore. I would never, because I know as soon as I say that, it's going to be a week. And I'm going to do it. So, no more of that. Our future is safe within Christ. And the magnificence of that will be revealed at a later time. So while God lets us suffer now, in justice, our God will balance the scales. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10 say this, For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in a flaming fire. See, we're going to come back with the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back to the earth and wipes out all the unbelievers from the earth. Now, I don't know how that's going to be for you, but it's not going to be a pleasant day for me. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, he will deal out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. These unbelievers will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. When he comes to be glorified in his saints, that's us, believers in Christ, on that day, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. All right, what is this saying in essence? It's saying this, that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and deal out retribution to all those who don't want a relationship with him. What's the retribution? They said, I don't want anything to do with you. He says, fine, I'm going to create a place for you to live. And it's going to be hot. Now, does he want them to go there? No. 2 Peter 3:9, it's not God's will that any should perish. So the people who go to the lake of fire are the people who want to. It's as simple as that. And, you know, our logical mind says, well, who would ever want to go to the lake of fire? People who don't want a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there are people who don't. That's their prerogative. That's their choice. And he will deal out retribution to them. And I don't know about you, but personally, I will take no glory in seeing the retribution of the Lord being handed out to those who reject him. And I will tell you that I know that from a spiritual standpoint, but from a human standpoint, I've had a lot of situations in my lifetime where somebody screwed me over, and I had them in a position where all I had to do was take the knife and push it down into their neck. And I walked away from those situations. Have no desire for revenge. None. Have no desire for retribution. None. You know why? Because I have realized for years that God doesn't ever give us what we deserve. He doesn't. Because if he gave me what I deserve, I would be in the lake of fire. He doesn't give us what we deserve. And since he doesn't think it's right to give anybody what they deserve, I don't want anybody to get what they deserve. I don't. And I can't wait until we get to Romans 9, 10, and 11, where Paul, who writes the book of Romans, is talking specifically to the Jews. And he says about the Jews, if I could, I would go to hell and pay for all of them. I would ask my God to let me do that. You send me to hell and let all the Jewish people go to heaven who have rejected you. You see what I mean? The only people who ever feel that way are Christians. Honestly. Because that's a reflection of God. Because there is nothing in us as human beings who ever feels that way. Believe me. I do not want evil people to suffer. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, no. There's nothing to that. Well, good news is the Lord doesn't want them to suffer either. And he proved it by suffering for them. Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 7 to 10 say this, you, God the Father, have made him, Jesus Christ, for a little while, lower than the angels. Human beings are lower than the angels. Just like there are the angels and human beings, there are human beings and animals. Animals are a little while lower than the angels. I have a black lab, and he doesn't understand that idea. Right, so I'm going to have to start bringing him to Bible study, because he thinks that he should get fed before I get fed. Amen? It's like, are you serious? This morning he's up at the stove begging for food. He's like, I haven't eaten yet. Get out of here. Go back to your spot. So I had to throw him on the ground and wrestle him down, you know, and ask him, who's the alpha in this house? He looks up. You are, man. All right. Who's eating second? Me. That's what I mean by this. You, God the Father, have made Jesus Christ for a little while lower than the angels. Can you imagine that? That deity comes below the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor because of it. and have appointed him over the work of your hands, God the Father. Hebrews 2:8. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subjected to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. Why? Because everything's wrapped up in a brown paper bag. Hebrews 2:9. But we do see him, Jesus Christ, who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. See, how fair is that? How fair is it for somebody to die not only for the people who believe in him, but for the people who didn't? How fair is that? Hebrews 2:10. For it was fitting for God the Father, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation, Jesus Christ, through sufferings. Look at how we get perfected. We get perfected through sufferings. And so we must learn to value suffering. Suffering is to the spiritual life what exercise is to the body. We are to be content regardless of circumstance. We are to be content regardless of environment. And we are to recognize that we live in an evil age. We are to feel blessed when we suffer because suffering produces an effect, endurance. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. See how great and unconditional love God the Father has bestowed on us believers, that we would be called children of God, and such are we. For this reason, the world doesn't know us because it did not know him. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, divinely loved ones, that's what beloved means, now we are children of God, but it has not appeared as yet what we will be. Brown bag. We know that when Christ appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. 1 John 3:3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him, all believers in Christ, purifies himself just as Christ is pure. What does that mean? Let's God help us live the holy life with no mixture. All right, so where will we go from Romans 8:18 to Romans 8:19, which says this, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Well, what effect does suffering produce? James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's what God has as a destiny for you, believers in Christ. When you suffer, keep on putting one foot in front of the other. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ at a single moment in time with a simple conversation to God the Father. Father, I believe in Christ, and that is the moment of eternal life for you, an eternal life that you cannot lose. Why is that important? Acts 4:12. There's salvation in no one else. And there is no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to seek and save that which was lost. And so if you're an unbeliever, you're lost, and the Lord is looking for you. Final song, How Great You Are.
How great thou art, you have set me apart, you finish what you start, you alone can change my heart, you hold time in your hands, you were before time began, no one can change your plans, your absolute truth forever stands. How great you are, how great great you are, how great you are. You control our history, giving us a will that's free, provided our destiny. Your word is the air my soul breathes. I will walk in the light, not in the dark of night, not living wrong or right, but by obedience, precious in your sight. How great, how great, how great, how great you are.
Song. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for letting us suffer. And thank you for the way suffering focuses our mind. Focuses our mind in a way that prosperity never does. And during those times we suffer, we pray that you help us to put it into perspective. The perspective being that it is you producing something wonderful, some wonderful effect in us. The effect of endurance and patience and perseverance. We pray that you protect our steps as we go out into the world and that you keep us on the narrow way, completely dependent on you and your guiding and mentoring spirit. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.